HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, so today I am joined by Don Stack. Don works for an organization called Optical Rooms, and Optical Rooms are a corporate organization. Don, sorry, why don't you explain what Optical Rooms do rather than me make a mess of it?
Yeah, thanks, Declan. Well, Optical Rooms was designed really to address the corporate space and the manufacturing space. So we bring our services usually on-site into companies, whether they be small, medium, or large. In the large companies, there are often wellness centers, and we work beside the doctor and the dentist and the physio. And then as you go down towards the smaller companies, we go on site, usually on the bequest of the company or perhaps the health insurer. We would have done a lot of companies for VHI, and we're doing VDU screening on site, and we're doing full eye examinations. And it was a very popular service when one could go on site. But obviously, since March, we have not been doing that. And I suppose that's really where this podcast interview is going to go. But up to that point, it was a really, really popular service, and the employees loved the convenience of it. And we did end to end. We came in with all the gear. We were doing a kind of a pretty thorough examination. We were bringing in the glasses, and we were giving them the lenses, going back and fitting them. So it was an end to end service, and it went down very well with employees, very well appreciated because of its convenience, you know?
Yeah. And as you say, the part of the original reason, Don, I think we decided we'd have a conversation was a very interesting product offering you guys had, and that I was eager to try. And it's effectively, it's a glasses mounted wearable that assesses a number of things about people and how they are, is it fair to say, interacting with their working environment and their monitors and their seating and their head, etc., or the tilt and light exposure and all of those good things that organizations have a duty of care, albeit in a very new scenario, to keep an eye on.
Exactly. Well, we were blown away when we saw this monitor, and actually just a bit of interesting background to it, Declan. It was originally designed for ophthalmologists to establish the correct intraocular implant for patients that were pre-cataract operation patients, right? So you have an elderly gentleman who's coming in, or a lady, and you want to ask, well, what's your lifestyle? Are you a hill walker? Are you a reader? And you know, just for a kind of a objective data gathering, they would wear the monitor. And then when the monitor was assessed, you could say, well, this chap spends 80% of his time outdoors. He loves gardening. So we're going to go for a varifocal intraocular implant where the majority is a distance lens, you know, and it just gave them a steer. And it was almost, you know, customizing lenses for patients directly. And then it adapted into the optometry space and the optical space, where it became a very good steer for the optometry section to pick a varifocal for their glasses. But as it has unfolded, and when we saw it first, we thought, well, this would be ideal for the home office user because it establishes the distance from the monitor. What type of monitor? Are they using a laptop? In other words, are they looking down? Are they looking at a desktop straight ahead? Are they on mobile? So it gives us a read of the visual demands, we'll say, of the patient. And also it measures lighting. It measures the amount of blue light exposure they have, the ambient room temperature, and the head posture. So it's on a it's on a pair of frames. And if an employee or a patient doesn't wear glasses, it comes with a pair of plano lenses, because obviously the monitor needs to be held up by something. So that's why we call it a glasses mounted monitor. So like I say, when we saw that, we saw huge opportunity for it in this current climate, and so many people working from home. And we feel it's a game changer. It's more than just a vision check at home. It's more an ergonomics assessment, really. But so far, so good. Anyone who has used it, like Declan, you might explain it as we go along what your experience was with it. But it's going down pretty well with people so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for anyone listening, we have a picture of the device below the podcast, and we'll also have a full assessment of my behaviors, and Don's going to talk me through that now in a few minutes. For those people not without access, just to view it on screen though, Don, it's about the size of, I would have, a key fob, a security fob is about the closest thing I would know to describe it. I don't know if that's a common thing for people to understand.
Like a cigarette lighter,
exactly, not one of the the standard sort of Bic cigarette lighters, and it gets attached to, as Don said, to a pair of glasses. I do not wear glasses, so there was clear glasses provided to me, all part of the kit I was provided with, and I had to wear it for effectively a week. I mean, give or take. I know there was a set amount of hours, Don, but no problem to me whatsoever. Very comfortable. My biggest thing as a non-glasses wearer was just to remember to put it on in the morning, but I solved that by putting it on my keyboard, so I couldn't forget it. We're going to talk about the results on that, Don, in a minute. In general, organizations, I think, and I appreciate you're not a legal expert, but in general, companies have a duty of care, irrespective of where the employee is based, whether they're in an office or at home. How are your clients utilizing it?
Well, you know, companies are struggling to meet the duty of care. And I think you have the company that doesn't really think too much about it, and you have a company that worry about it. For us, from any engagement we've had so far, they have been so interested in the fact that this is a very easy way of establishing a read and a norm amongst their employees who are working from home, because people are working in so many different environments. And even in your house, you might spend some time at the kitchen table, on the couch. So we feel, in comparison to a static ergonomics assessment in an office scenario, it's very different dynamics within the house. So we're saying the monitor, because you wear it for 36 hours and you say it's the bones of a working week, you get a good idea of what's the pattern and behavior. You're wearing it long enough, I feel, to shake off the consciousness of having it. And so your behavior becomes a pattern. And like when we're doing your report, you'll see that over that many hours, you get quite a good read of what's the normal distance you work, the amount of times you look away, your head posture, and the various locations that you transfer to doing your work on a normal day. So for that, and it's not, it doesn't record anything you're doing. It doesn't have a monitor. It doesn't have a mic. It's not recording any sensitive data. It's using gyroscopes, it's using lasers. And for that, it's a fantastic read in an objective way to what's going on.
We'll jump into the results now in a minute. What other things are you guys doing at the moment, Don, in this space?
Well, because our on-site hasn't been possible, and neither for our staff or for the risk going on-site to companies and people working at home, we've developed a remote vision care VDU assessment. So again, going back to the duty of care, there's an obligation for companies to offer VDU assessments to staff, even if they're working from home. So again, companies are very interested in this. And we found this was actually a bigger take up on the remote VDU assessments, because it meant that we could use the monitor as the outcome and as a follow-up. So we'd say, oh, Declan's working in an environment, we feel there was further investigation needed. We might send him the monitor. But we wouldn't send the monitor to everybody, because there's a lot of people working from home, have a good setup, no problems, no headaches, no eye strain, and it's no problem. But it allows us to kind of filter out those that need more attention. And that's then where we introduced the monitor. So it was kind of like the monitor might have been cart before the horse initially when we were promoting it. And now we feel it's a better in the solution zone than the assessment zone. The VDU on-site is like a 10-minute Zoom one-to-one with an optician. And we talk the patient through, we get history and symptoms, we talk them through, and we measure kind of their acuity at near, and if they wear glasses, are they up to date, you know, color vision, contrast sensitivity, depth perception, those type of things that we can do remotely. And then we come up with an outcome and say, right, listen, you're meeting the standard for VDU, we don't need to do anything, or we recommend you go to your local optician, get a full eye exam, or we're going to send you the monitor. So there's outcomes then that come from that. And they're quite helpful. You know, they're, again, it blankets over the staff, and you cherry pick those that you want to do more with. And it's up to the company whether they do more with them. But certainly the employee has a read of where they're at from their home. So that's the beauty of it.
That's interesting, Don. What typically in your experience, what are the red flags sort of the company should start keeping their ear to the ground for, you know what I mean? Like what are those early indicators that someone might be not in the ideal setup?
Well, I think research is showing that people are on monitors a lot longer at home, you know, so there's less breaks. People get up from their desk, you know, 1/6 of the amount of time they would if they were in an office scenario. Even if they walk to the coffee and get a drink of water or chat to a colleague, whereas when you're at home, you tend not to do that. You're less distracted, and there's problems then with people eye strain and dry eye and just kind of overexposure to monitors. Like, our eye isn't developed, Declan, as you can imagine, to be looking at a screen for that many times. And we were hunter-gatherers, our eyes are used to scanning and focusing and looking in the distance, and all that variation in vision is lost when you're locked into a screen for, you know, even 40 minutes or an hour and a half or 12 hours a day. So it's kind of extreme. And digital everything, you know, your phone in the morning time, your desktop, your laptop, you know, you might read on a tablet. Like, it's just endless monitor usage, really, for all of us. So very, very demanding on the eye. And we're seeing a lot of that kind of eye strain. They call it CVS, computer vision syndrome. And it's really just around overexposure, lack of breaks, possibly dry eye. And we're seeing a big concern in companies to deal with that. I think in the past it was more to do with posture and, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome and people having poor workstations. I think there's a lot of choice out there now and a lot of help, standing desks and all sorts of mouse and keypads and stuff like that. So vision care is the next one. I think that's going to be, you know, there's a lot of space for improvement in that zone alone, you know.
Typically, how does it manifest on? Like in a large organization where you might be like, what are managers hearing? Are they hearing about headaches? You know, what would be that sort of thing? Like, what should people keep an eye out for?
Well, I think a lot of the complaints patients are talking about is eye strain, dry eye, irritable eye. People are very conscious of the blue light exposure. So one of the beauties of the monitor is it actually gives us a read on blue light. So how much blue light are you exposed to all day, you know? And the long-term projection of that is that blue light is at the, you know, the ultraviolet end of the spectrum. It has high energy. It's the short wavelength, and it's more active than the other end of the spectrum, which is where we used to be in the tungsten bulbs, yellows and the reds, and that has a longer wavelength, lower energy. So that was causing less kind of stress to the back of the eye. And high exposure to blue light is suspected yet, not proven, we'll say, but it's suspected it's going to accelerate macular degeneration. And what that means is that the very small part of your eye that you really focus on detail has a huge amount of cones in it, very active, very, very much, a lot of chemical reactions happening as light photons fall on that area. Well, blue light tends to put that under a bit of stress. And after days and weeks and decades of that, the degenerative changes unfortunately come in. So where we see macular degeneration in patients in their 70s, the suspicion will be we'll start seeing it in their 60s and then start seeing it in their 50s, because, you know, kids are into monitors, you know, now from whatever the age you want to say, 5, 6, 7, 8 upwards, and the exposure. So that amount of time, that duration of decades, is going to be engaged with sooner. So therefore, you're going to see the effects of it sooner. And that's unfortunate. So pretty much across the space, when we're in the corporate section, we advise blue filters, we advise blue control lenses. And really, it's just because we're reducing the amount of blue light. We're not blocking it. You need blue light for clarity and distinction and ambience and stuff, but you just want to try and lessen it to prevent damage in time. And it's more relaxing on the eye as well, not to have glaring white LED lighting. And so that's one of the big issues, one of the big areas in the corporate space and the computer users, which is all of us now at this stage.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm quite conscious of it myself now, because as you quite rightly say, Don, you could spend all day at work looking at a screen for the majority of that day and then go and maybe have something to eat and then sit down in front of another screen, maybe with a separate one in your hand, you know, as you look at social media or whatever it might be, as you watch TV, it can be relentless, all right. So it's very much something I'm conscious of. Let's have a look at my results, will we? You can tell me everything I'm doing wrong now. Obviously, I have reviewed them, but you very kindly said you'd go through them with me today. For the benefit of people who can't see it. Basically, it's a two-page report with some of the key findings. Don, do you want to walk through it? Effectively, yeah. It's split into two sections, though, isn't it? There's for my laptop activity and there's my desktop activity, effectively.
Exactly. And you can see from the monitor that you wore the monitor for an accumulative time of 37 hours and 10 minutes. The first page is the laptop view. So, and it may be a tablet or it may be a phone, but it's certainly not a straight ahead posture. So we know immediately from the orientation of your head that you were looking down for it. And again, the distance, it's like if you remember in or have seen in a website, you can see the hotspots. Where are people tracking and looking? So this is similar. It will show you distances. So we have a third of a meter, half a meter, two thirds of a meter, and a meter. So where's the hotspot in that? Well, it's going to be near you. So it's going to be from one third to a half a meter away. And that's exactly what you have there. But importantly, it talks about time without a break. So it measures it hours per minute. And it says, how often do you break fixations? And that's really, it's not that you get up and have a coffee, but it's that you just look away or you look up or whatever. So you break the fixation from what you're holding in your hand or what's the laptop might be on your lap. And you were taking a break every 8 minutes. So that's kind of ideal. The Americans use this, well, they brought it in. Everyone's using it now, but it's 20-20-20. Every 20 minutes, you look 20 feet away for 20 seconds. And the reason for that is, number one, it breaks fixation. It allows your eye to relax from its accommodative effort. It allows you to blink. So it restores normality to your eye, albeit briefly. So you're spot on. You're doing it every 8 minutes. So that was a great... The other thing it measures then is your distance from whatever device it being. We'll take it at the laptop. And it gave me 61 centimeters. So again, that's in the green zone. It's color coded, so it's easy to interpret it. So it's either red flagging, or it's going to be yellow as an intermediate, or it's going to be green. So you're on the green zone for that. The next thing it measures, Declan, was the ambient lighting. So for eye strain...
Didn't do so good on this one.
Yeah, this one you need a brighter bulb in that room. But they basically, it was saying that your ambient lighting was like 99 lux, whereas really you're looking at, for real normality and comfort, 300 plus. So it's the contrast between the brightness of your screen versus the illuminance in your room, and you don't want it to be too stark and too different. So that was a recommendation, and that was one of the red flags. And then we come on to color.
Just on that one, Don. Sorry, yep, Don. I've subsequently fixed that particular problem. You'll be delighted to know in my office.
Good.
I have to say I knew it was on the darker side, but I was shocked that it was so bad. But the problem here, just so it's clear for anyone listening, is part of the problem here is the contrast, is it, between your screen's brightness and then the brightness around you, effectively.
Exactly. And it's a harder task for the eye to focus on the bright one, you know, when you're surrounded by the dark. So having them more kind of uniform and more regulated is just easier on the eye, less eye strain, more comfortable. And you might tolerate it for a short period. Obviously, we're emphasizing somebody who's, you know, working 8, 10, 12 hours a day. So it's the longevity of it. We're trying to increase comfort and performance and contentment, we'll say, for the eye function. And then we went on to color temperature, and color temperature is very much related to the blue light, and I've discussed the blue light and the problems potentially with overexposure, we'll say, to blue light. And again, slightly in the red zone for you, Declan, there with the laptop. And again, that's something you can fix with a screen on your laptop, or you can adjust the settings or whatever you like to do. But it's just a recommendation that was potentially a little bit on the high side.
And just on the blue light, I know on my mobile phone, for example, I can turn off the blue light. That's one of the settings. Are laptop screens and what I would like the old school, you know, monitors on a desktop, is every device different in terms of what blue light it emits, or is one generally worse than the other?
I would say the older monitors will be less adjustable, and they haven't, the mobile phones tend to be better at offering the facility to, you know, you can time code it to kick in a daylight hours or not daylight hours. And another issue, if people are not 100% familiar with this, the blue light affects our daily rhythm. So when we go to sleep at nighttime, we have melatonin. Melatonin allows our system to slow down and to prepare us for a good night's sleep, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole thing, we know, don't use your laptop in bed or your tablet in bed, because that, you know, reduces the amount of melatonin you release, and therefore you're not as prepared for sleep and you don't sleep for as long. And then as we get up during the day and light hits the back of the eye, and we know in the eye that there's an actual sensor that goes to our brain, and it gives us an indicator of it's a day or it's night or whatever. And that then gives us the hormonal release. So blue light inhibits melatonin release. And that's one of the things that you don't want in the evening time, particularly. So blue light will get a lot of press around the sleep and that kind of stuff. But that's only one part of the blue light issue. There's the eye strain issue. There's the potential for degenerative changes, that it's stressful to the back of the eye to have too much blue light, and the melatonin release. So that there. So we oscillate between, like, serotonin and melatonin are like these balancing acts, like a seesaw event. You know, serotonin is there during the day, melatonin is not, and then it literally oscillates back the other way in the evening time. And you know, if you have a flu long haul, you know, melatonin, and that's thrown out, your jet lag, and you feel pretty poor because your daily rhythm, your circadian rhythm is jeopardized, you know, or it's knocked out of sync for a while until it reestablishes itself, you know. And then the last part of that then was the posture. And this is the part where we felt that the monitor was doing more than just eye strain and challenges to the eye. We had the lighting, like we've said, the blue light, and now the head positioning. So obviously in a laptop mostly it's down. I know you can get different stands and stuff, but the majority of people are either looking straight ahead, and you're 50% straight and 50% downward. But the interesting part is you had a lateral bend. So you were just, you're not looking at this. You have a head tilt, right? And most people have a slight head tilt, and it gives us a percentage read. So is it flexion, or are you bending your head laterally? And it gives a read. And that actual read, Declan, is a percentage of normality, right? So it's not any, that's why there's a percentage of it. You know, 47% of people do it this way with your lateral inflection, and then 39% do it the other. You have a slight tendency to leave your head tilted to the right, which neck strain and blah, blah, depends on how long you're doing it for, but how many hours you're doing the laptop versus your desktop is in play there, right?
So and this then, is telling me, Don, so it's saying 22% to the right. So that's it. Is that saying 22% of the time I have that tilt to the right? Or is that the degree of turn? Okay, gotcha.
Degree of lateral bend. Exactly. And then the next part then is copy and paste, really, of the top one, except the mixture is different because it's the desktop you're working in. And you can see the hot spot from the distances, that now we're looking at 2/3 to 1/3 of a meter away, because you know, it's a desktop we're working with this time. And again, time on task, how often did you break fixation? Did you look away from the monitor, whether it be like the 20-20 rule, you looked beyond it and into the distance for a break, or you looked at something on your desk. So every 13 minutes you were doing that. You remember it was 8 minutes for the laptop, so slightly longer on the desktop. With regards to the distance from the screen, and you had it actually quite far away, so you're 82 centimeters. We typically say to patients, listen, if your vision is good enough to have the desktop away from you, run with that, because it's very easy, pick a bit different font size. But when you have something close to you, your eye actually does three things. First of all, your eyes have to converge in towards your nose because it's very close. It's like, you know, taking a thorn from your finger, you get cross-eyed from how close you're holding it. The second thing is, your eye accommodates. So your eye powers up to see something near you, you know. So it takes effort to look at something near you. Whereas when you look in the distance and your eyes are straight, the actual interocular muscles relax, your lens, your crystalline lens within the eye flattens, and it's really quite easy. It's quite effortless for us to look long-term in the distance. And the third thing is your pupil dilates, and it allows more light in, because usually you're looking at something small, you need a lot of clarity, a lot of detail. So it's one of the downsides to mobile phone use, because our mobile is always in our hands. So it's pretty close to us. It's kind of 1/3 of a meter or even less. So those three things are happening. We're converging, we're accommodating, we're eyes dilating, we're getting more light in than we would possibly need. So the further out from you, the better. It's like looking at a pinhole into a box. If you shine a torch into the hole, the further you are from the hole, you know, the less light that goes in. And it's the same with our pupil. So if you can't see clearly enough the font size from 82 centimeters, you're on a winner. The same, you're going to have the same ambient light issue here. You have too low, really, for contrast between your desktop and the room. So we suggested that you'd improve that, and you already did. And blue light, again, you were at 77 on the, you were kind of red flagging the blue light exposure from your desktop. And we looking at the head position again. So unlike your laptop where you were 50% looking down and looking straight, here you're 72% in the straight ahead, and you still have that slight lateral bend with the to the right, we'd said 22 degrees. So again, it's time on task, really. You know, that lateral bend may be no problem, but it's, you know, if you're doing 12 hours a day on your screen, then in time there'd be slight probably neck strain from that. So obviously the closer you can be to straight, the better, you know. And that's kind of the report for both laptop and desktop.
Yeah, really, really interesting, Don, I have to say. Some of the stuff I would have been, you know, somewhat conscious of.
Yes.
I'm constantly correcting my posture, but obviously I still need to do a bit of work. The tilting my neck to the right, I would have had no inclination that I'm doing that. Yeah. So that's interesting. And even the looking down versus straight ahead, I'm not sure I'd have realized that either.
But people subconsciously, you know, you're not aware of that. As soon as you get engrossed, it's a bit like the blink reflex. We're always saying to patients, listen, you know, your eyes getting dry working on the computer because, you know, the heat from the monitor and the heat in your room or the aircon in the office or whatever the case, you need to remember to blink, you know. But it's like, it's just not possible, you know. The minute you get distracted, you know, you're stuck into a project or whatever the case, blink is the last thing on your mind. And the same way with posture and you completely lose consciousness of everything around you when you're engrossed. So human behavior, normality, absolutely very little you can do about it. But interestingly, if we're in the clinic and we're seeing patients, and if the patient is reading the chart with a head tilt, it very often indicates to us that there's an extra ocular muscular dysfunction, because the patient, when you ask the patient to keep his head straight, they may get double vision, or they won't have the same level of clarity. So they will favor to tilt their head in certain conditions because it's masking the weakness that they have, you know, in their muscle. So whether it be a weak eye or there's the extraocular muscles are not aligned correctly. So it's something we always look out for in clinical scenarios when somebody defaults to a head tilt to read and to see, to be comfortable and see clearly. We usually want to know why, and it would be a reason for us to investigate. Not as slight as what you're talking about now, but I'm talking about a significant head tilt, you know.
Before I ask you what can employers do for their employees, what can people do for themselves? So what can employees do for themselves to improve their environment?
Well, we put together a kind of a 13-point kind of like best practices for people that are working. And a lot of the people would be doing anyway, but there might be some parts of it that they would benefit from. So that's usually the likes of taking the break, the 20-20-20 rule. Yeah, the ambient lighting, like it monitors here on your report that we discussed, you know, blue light exposure. So we give patients this 13-point guidance, you know, literally a guidance and a helping hand. And, you know, people might kind of say, it's not for me. But if you do the small things, you know, you'd be surprised. The effectiveness of it overall is very beneficial. And they're all just habits, you know, and you might as well adopt a good one as a bad one. So that's what we say to patients. You have a quick look at that. And even if you adopt it slowly, do one at a time and start to do that, you'd be surprised that it would improve your effectiveness and perhaps your productivity or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to be getting up from your computer and feel absolutely goggly-eyed from it, you know, and you're exhausted from it. And then you're trying to interact the rest of your evening. Like you say, you might want to watch something on Netflix or whatever. You want to be the best you can be really after doing your day's work. And that's what we're trying to promote and encourage patients to do, you know.
So in terms of corporates, obviously our listenership is predominantly HR, who, you know, would have a lot of responsibility in wellness and in you know, ensuring people have the correct equipment, etc. And now in that remote environment, this has all changed for all of us dramatically in the last 9 or 10 months. What services, you mentioned some of them earlier in terms of the VDU, in the remote environment, what services are you offering organizations now, or individuals, if that's an option as well?
Yeah, well, we have three options basically, right? One is kind of an emergency response for people that, you know, would have an acute situation with their eye, whatever it be, usually front surface. So we have a software, AOS, and basically what it does, it takes an image using your mobile phone, and then it grades it for us. So it gives us, you know, inflammatory signs, the amount of redness, whatever. We can assess the picture and give our own perception on it. What I like about that particular product is you can go back to the patient. You might make the recommendation, listen, I'm going to give you suggest you get these drops in the local pharmacy, and then in 2 or 3 days time you might touch base again, and you can compare and contrast the picture one from picture two and say, yeah, we're heading the right direction, or no, you need to pop down to the local doc and get an antibiotic for that, or whatever the case would be. So that's one of the things we're using. The second thing is the VDU assessment, and that's been the most popular of the choices because, like you say, HR struggling to find things to engage with for the guy working at home, struggling to understand what their environment is, you know, in reality, and then if they're having any issues. So that's a very quick and easy 10-minute screening, but yet you get a good broad picture of how the overall are, and like you say, you cherry pick the people that want further investigation. And then the third thing is the monitor. The monitor is, you know, that's pretty, as you see, it's pretty detailed. It's a 36-hour wearable that is very informative, but you know, it's not for, it might be heavy-handed to give it to everybody. So again, finding the right guy for that, or the right person that's in need of that and in need of better understanding of their working environment, that's a phenomenal tool. Like we're finding that is so informative, and patients love the feedback from that. They don't find it intrusive. They don't, because I say there's no camera on it. There's no security data issues with that. And we're finding patients are very pleased with the outcome. I mean, it's all about improving their scenario. It's all about the company getting engaged with the employee, and it's to everyone's benefit. You know, it's to everyone's benefit.
Yeah, and I just echo that. I think it was one of the first questions I when we started talking about doing this originally, it was one of the first questions I think I had was about the, you know, there's no recording capability or there's no camera, etc. Because, you know, 100%. We live in a world where data security, etc. is extremely, extremely important. So, yeah, and just as well, it's not in the slightest bit intrusive, or I certainly didn't find it in any way a hardship to wear it for the week. And as anyone who reviews the report on me, it's not for me, Don. It's nice just to get it something tangible that I can go, you know, like as I said I've already made the improvement around the lighting in my little home office here. You know, there's very tangible things, actions that can be taken that hopefully when I report back to you in a couple of months time, we'll have, you know, dramatic improvements. So Don, thanks so much for today. It's been really, really interesting. If people want to get in contact with you, whether they be individuals or corporates who might want to have a conversation or just explore this a little bit further, what's the best way?
Yeah, we usually through email, info@opticalrooms.com is the easiest way to do that for us. Or there's a landline there on the website. Opticalrooms.ie is the website. And then info@opticalrooms.com is the email address. And yeah, happy to chat through with anybody who has employees working from home and to discuss the options and best fit for them. And we're a small company. We can adapt to any requirements really for companies.
Great stuff. Don Stack from Optical Rooms, thank you very much.
Thanks, Declan. Appreciate it.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.